This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hall of Famer, and he's been here many times, usually brings his beautiful wife, who just makes the whole room light up. She's amazing. And it's the great Tony Dungy, of course, NBC, back with Rodney Harrison. Mike Tirico stepped in for Dan Patrick last year, did a great job. Coach, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Thank you, Brandon. Great to be with you. Doing great. 2 weeks from tomorrow, we kick off with Chicago and Green Bay. Looking forward to kicking off the 100th year.
No, there's no doubt. Now, you are here. We'll talk a lot of football. But we still have the book that you gave us. And it's a great initiative. It's a great look into, I think, the soul of your family, just what you and your wife are about. And I want to give you a chance to talk about it off the top here because it sits prominently on our bookshelf.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we've got two new children's books out. This is something that started with my wife years ago when I was coaching. She and the other wives went out and read to elementary schools on the players' day off Tuesday. So the guys would be home babysitting. The wives would go out and read. And Lauren always said, we just don't have a lot of good stuff with a good message that has diversity. So we kind of started on this path of writing books, and we've got two new ones out. One is called We Chose You, which is about adoption. We've adopted eight young kids, and we're excited about that. And we wanted to tell the story, let adopted children know that there's nothing wrong with them. They're special. They're unique. And also get the word out to parents that, you know, we need adoptive parents out there. There's kids who are waiting for homes, and it can be a beautiful thing. So that's been awesome. And then we have a second book that just released called Carson Chooses Forgiveness. We're the coaches of a peewee basketball team. There's one guy who's a ball hog. He's not a good teammate. Yeah. And the team has to pull him back in, but forgive him and build together. Yeah. And so it's been neat to teach kids about forgiveness, and that really came from our kids. They come home every day. Someone comes home, Johnny did something to me, I'm not friends with him anymore. And you have to say, no, that's if you were his friend, just cutting him off and not being a friend isn't the answer. What happened? Let's figure it out, and let's get back into that friendship.
Look at that crew. I was going to say, with that crew, with all those kids, you better have that you better have that NFL money, and you better have that NBC network money. That's a lot of mouths to feed, man, a lot of schools to pay for. All right, and I have to get my hands on the second book. That seems like a cool premise. There's always a ball hog, and there's always a story to be told and a lesson learned.
A lot of kids can relate to that one.
No doubt about it. Just doing great things. All right. I know that you would have tried to reach Antonio Brown if you were coaching him. It seems like John Gruden's kind of kissing his behind a little bit here, and it's getting a little to the point now, Coach, where – I mean, let's go. I mean, it's almost September 1st here. He can't find the helmet. His feet are still chapped up. What a disastrous start for him and the Raiders.
Well, hopefully it'll come together, but I think we're seeing a lot of what the Steelers dealt with over the last 4 or 5 years. And you have a guy who's arguably the best receiver in football and gets traded for a third-round draft choice. Something's wrong. Something has fallen apart. You hope that a new start, fresh start in Oakland would make it better, but some of the things that he's talking about, I just think you go as a coach and say, come on, Antonio, let's move forward. Yeah, you probably you were comfortable in the Steeler jersey. You had some great years in the Steeler jersey, but you can't wear that jersey now. You're with the Raiders. You had some great years in this helmet, but you can't wear it now. We've got to move forward to 2019, and let's all just get on board.
Yeah, you and I were talking before we actually came on the air, and in essence, what it equates to is 12 touchdowns, 1,400 yards, get lost. We don't need
you. We don't need that.
It says it all.
It tells you something, I think.
Coach, do you think that there's let me start. Everybody matures at a different rate. I actually matured later. I mean, I was a little bit of a pain in the behind, whereas Tiki was – I don't think Tiki caused many problems for his mom. I don't think Rondé did either. Everybody's a little different when they finally get it. And the NFL locker room's no different. But do you think there's a certain age, a certain point? Like, if you're 7, 8, 9 years, 10 years into your career, do you still think you could tap in and change somebody, or is it too late?
I think you're always able to change people if they're looking to change. The problem with so many of these athletes, they've had success all the way through. They've been the best player on their middle school team, high school team, college team. They're in the NFL. They're having success. Why should I change?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the great thing, we talked about who might win it all this year, New England. They're going to be in it every year because they set that culture that everybody comes in here and you have to change. You have to fit into what we do because we're only focused on winning. Everything else is secondary.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter who you are, if you're Tom Brady, you come in with that being in mind. If you aren't willing to change and get in line, you're not going to be there long. And that's why they're successful. So you can change to a certain extent, but the player has to want to.
It's Hall of Famer Tony Dungy with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Coach, do you think if you were coaching Baker Mayfield, right now, where he is, year two, right before year two, he's got a lot of moxie. And let's face it, it's that moxie and that it was his fuel to get to this point. He's not 6'4", doesn't have a rocket, wasn't recruited by USC and everybody. He willed himself to be a terrific player, so you got to respect that. But if you were coaching him right now, would you be worried about him, or do you think that that's something he will fully harness and have a career without any sort of escapades?
I think you have to take that he has and understand it. You're exactly right. What he brings to the table, that's important because that's what got him there. Now you got to try to harness that and put it in the right place and say, hey, Baker, all these things are good, but now you're going to have to do things a little bit differently if you want to have team success.
Mm-hmm.
You can have the individual success, but if you want to have team success, you're going to have to do it this way. And I remember having that conversation with Warren Sapp when I got to Tampa. Hey, Warren, you've been great. You've been awesome. We expect you to be great and awesome. But here's what I need from you if we're going to win a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And to Warren's credit, he said, okay, I understand that.
Right away he got the message?
Yeah, he said, you know, there's certain things that are me, and I want to be me, and you have to understand that as a coach. But you tell me what you want, and I'm going to toe the line for you because I want to win a championship.
That's interesting. See, but here's the thing. Even if Warren didn't abide by your parameters right away, as a coach, you can coach around the defensive player being a little different, a little whatever. If it's your quarterback, that's kind of non-negotiable. He's got to be pretty steady.
Well, whoever leads the team, and Warren was going to be a leader for us, so the team was going to respond to him. The team is going to respond to Baker Mayfield. And some of those things you want. You want that confidence in your quarterback. You want that aggressiveness, that sense that we can do anything. But you also, you know, as a quarterback, you're going to have to make decisions out there. You're going to have to be the guy who the teams trust your composure. So there's some things, if you want to be a championship quarterback,
mm-hmm.
that you've got to exhibit. It's not just talent. It's not just emotion. It's not just arm strength. It's the whole package. And I think Baker is going to get there. Patrick Mahomes, now I watched him, and you
so
see
good.
All that.
Oh, okay.
Not only you see the talent and the throws and everything, but you're in that locker room and you see other guys who say, that's our leader, that's our quarterback, we're following
him.
His dad
played in pros. You know, he comes, he's kind of used to that. He's such a good kid. Do you think the job's too big for Freddie Kitchens? A lot of expectations.
There are expectations.
A lot of personalities.
Harnessing that, getting them to work together. You know, we'll see what happens. He's got his hands full. I think with that group of 30-year head coach, Bill Belichick would have his hands full with that group of players. So we'll see how they respond to Freddie and if they'll, you know, stay in line when things don't go well. Right now, hey, we're undefeated. We're going to the Super Bowl. Everybody loves Freddie.
Yeah.
They feel good about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's see what happens in the fourth quarter when there's a bad decision or you lose a game and how they go. That, to me, how they're going to face adversity is the question.
So you mentioned the Saps, your former team. One of them came up earlier with the Bucks. The other former team, I mean, Andrew Luck is, what is going on here, Tony?
He's very frustrated. I was there last week. We were doing some book promotion. He hasn't been able to go. And he thought he'd be practicing by now. He thought he'd be pain-free. And it just isn't there yet. It could come tomorrow. It could come 3 weeks from now. It could come some point during the year. He's going to be ready to go and play. Now, where is the team going to be? And to me, that's, you know, Frank Reich, Jacoby Brissett, they've got to say, you know what, you've got to follow this second quarterback, and we've got to be in place when Andrew gets back. And that's going to be up to all of us. And Jacoby's good enough to win some games for him and keep him going. That's what they've got to hope for right now.
I don't disagree with your assertions about Brissett. I like Jacoby Brissett. Marlon Mack flashed at the end, could catch it, obviously, a dual threat out of the backfield.
Great offensive line. Their defense has got to be better. So, you know, and we went through it. I tell you, we went through it our Super Bowl year. Bob Sanders played four games.
Bob Sanders, safety, right?
He was the defensive leader. Huh? When he played, our defense was lights out. He only played four games in the regular season. We had to carry the load and be good enough. Everybody else had to step their game up. He got back at the end of the season in the playoffs, and we were a Super Bowl team.
Okay, but back to Luck specifically. What you said here, Coach, it sounds good, and it's right. It's right. It applies. But I want to dig a little deeper here because I'm really worried in this regard. I would feel better if the first day of camp, somebody stepped on his foot or he got hurt running, and it's like, ah, man, kind of unfortunate, but this is going back to April with OTAs. What the heck is going on?
That's the frustration. You know, he finished the year, plays lights out, yeah. Plays in the playoff
game. He's one
of
the best. He's great.
Doesn't get hurt. It's not an injury in that game.
Nope.
So you just take your normal time off and you come back and think, hey, I'm going to pick up right where I left off. We're going to be great this year. And he can't figure out why am I not playing? Why am I not healthy? So that is the elephant in the room and the million-dollar question. What happened? What is going on there? And, of course, I'm sure no one will say it, but the Kevin Durant thing has to be in people's minds.
Yep.
Hey, not quite sure. Do we put him out there at 95% and then something happens? And I think the Colts are going to be very wary, and they're not going to put him out there until he's 100%.
Nor should they. But are we even sure? Is it musk? Is it skeletal? Is it soft tissue? I still feel like I don't even know what it is.
I don't think they know. And they've experimented with a lot of things, and that is probably what's bothering Andrew right now. What is this? And everything the doctors are saying, I should be pain-free. I should be 100%, but I'm not. And it's just a slow process, but they're going to take the time. They're going to get it right.
Hall of Famer Tony Dungy with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Two quarterbacks, immense pressure this year. One has a guy who saved a lot of quarterbacks in Jameis Winston, and the other is Marcus Mariota. You know, listen, I know that Jameis has he drips talent, and I know the guys love him, and I actually think he's maturing, and I've got belief and hope that he'll get it right, I think. I'm not sold on Mariota. I don't see anything elite about Mariota. Can he lose his job this year to Ryan Tannehill?
I don't think he's going to lose his job. I'm a Marcus Mariota fan. My son played with him. I saw him. I watched him in practice. He's a guy that will do anything for his team to win. I think he is talented enough. It's got to be the right pieces around him. But I think he's going to have a very good year this year, and I think he's a franchise quarterback. Jameis is the same way. Jameis's problem is he's always carried the teams that he's been on. And I think what Coach Arians is trying to get across to him is we're going to be good enough that you aren't going to have to be a hero every single play of every game. You just have to play winning football, and we're going to be fine.
What do you think about the Aaron Rodgers-LaFleur dynamic? How's that going to go this year?
It'll be interesting. When a new coach comes in, especially with a veteran quarterback, there's some feeling out that has to go with it. And I know Peyton was worried when I got to Indy. This coach, he's played a lot of 13-9 games. He believes in defense. Is he going to slow us down? Are we going to be a team that tries to win that way? And he had to get comfortable with the fact that, no, we're going to still be explosive. We're still going to attack. I have certain principles that I like, but I'm not going to slow you down. And it took us a little while, and then we hit it. And I think that's where Aaron and LaFleur are, understanding each other, finding out what Aaron really likes, what he wants. And that'll be a process. It will.
You think Daniel Jones plays meaningful games this year?
I don't think so. I think Eli is going to play. I think they're going to do okay. And I think they're kind of looking at the way Eli came in, and Kurt Warner played most of the time, and it was good for Eli. It was good for Aaron Rodgers to come in that way, and eventually Daniel Jones will play. I don't think it's going to be this year.
It's a little trickier, though, because Antiki's talked about that. When Kurt came in, they actually had a winning record at that point. They obviously draft, you draft him first overall, he's going to play. But Kurt didn't have any equity in New York. He was a Ram.
Yes.
Eli's a two-time champ. Whenever that ends, it's not going to be pretty, even if they try to make it right. And the Lord knows, the first time they benched him, they messed it up as bad as you can.
No, it is going to be difficult to take Eli out, as it should be, and that's why I think he's going to be there. If he has a little bump in the road, you're not going to just say, okay, we put Daniel Jones in. You're going to let him work through that. where if he didn't have that kind of equity, maybe you're a little faster to put the draft choice in. But I think Eli's going to have a good year.
Do you think that Drew Brees was starting to wrap it up with Tony Dungy, of course, Hall of Famer here on Tiki and Tierney? Drew Brees, Brady, or Rivers? Do you think, is there anybody else I want to throw in there? No. Those three, do any of those three players hit the proverbial wall this season?
I don't see it this season with those guys. They work out too hard. They've got enough talented offensive players around them. I think they're all three going to be Pro Bowl quarterbacks this year.
Sam Darnold, the guy? Is he finally the guy? Did the Jets finally get a quarterback?
We'll see. Everything points that way. I think this is the big year, the second year in the system, and we'll see, you know, if he continues to progress. I think he will, but this is, to me, a big year.
Most underrated team in the NFL going into the season. Who's kind of flying
beneath
the radar? Look
out for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, you said that on fair.
Yeah.
I love their defense. You're a big Nick Foles guy.
And I think Nick Foles will bring some unity into that locker room. He'll help everybody come together. And I think they can put some things in place.
Well, Tony, the first name of the book is in We Choose You. It's about adoption and fitting in. The second book is about basically trying to get the rock out of a young gunner's hands, who's a young Allen Iverson who's not passing to his teammates. Carson chooses forgiveness. Of course, your wife, Lauren, Tony Dungy. It looks great. We have it up on the screen. There she is. She's absolutely beautiful. You did okay for yourself in the marriage department,
well.
Buddy.
Thank you.
And more importantly, she is a sweet woman. Every time she's here, she's great. You're a saint, man. Love having you in. Thanks for your time. Did we miss anything? I think we hit like 30 things. Yeah,
we hit
anything?
A lot. Thank you.
I think we're good. Keep killing it on NBC, too.
Thank you.
There
you
he is, Tony Dungy. You got it, buddy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.